From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Jay Richards, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and co-author of The Price of Panic: How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. We are committed to bringing the most inspirational, informative, and significant people on the planet directly to your earbuds. And today is no exception, as you will hear in just a few moments. This podcast today is transcendently important to everyone listening in, and that is because the whole world has been impacted by our subject on Hank Unplugged. Our subject is COVID-19, and the news cycle seems to be all COVID all the time. Here's what I mean. I always read three newspapers. And I was thinking, before I did this podcast, I wanted to give you a little sense of what we are bombarded with. So I read the Charlotte Observer because I want to know about our local news and sports teams and so forth. Then USA Today, and then the Wall Street Journal. Here's the headline in the Charlotte Observer, our local newspaper: Schools to go remote, citing virus spread. And then you have on the front page an article about the police chief, a judge, all testing positive for COVID-19, that after taking a flight on an airplane. The daily increase in state COVID-19 cases roars another headline, highest since pandemic start. And then in the sports section, Coach K uneasy as season in pandemic unfolds. Coach K openly pondering the moral dilemma of playing college basketball during an uncontrolled pandemic. And then there's USA Today. Here's the first headline I saw: Ravaged by COVID-19, desperate for vaccine. The next final hurdle. We're going to see Thursday the authorization of vaccines for the U.S. Some Americans may get their first shots this weekend. Another, playing college hoops now, madness amid COVID-19. This famous columnist wrote this article. Her name is Christine Brennan, and she begins by asking, why are we playing college basketball right now? The pandemic is raging across the country, killing thousands of Americans and filling hospitals to capacity. What is wrong with our colleges and universities? What's wrong with us? Even the Wall Street Journal. Asia grapples with rise in cases. Some Asian countries that have been among the world's most successful at containing COVID-19 are now struggling to beat back a winter resurgence. I could go on. So many headlines, and all of them are inundating us with panic with respect to the coronavirus. This coronavirus is an object lesson for discerning truth and for exercising discernment skills. 20 years ago, I wrote a book called The Millennium Bug Debugged, and I did that because back then people from across the spiritual spectrum were hyping a technological pandemic that portended the end of civilization as we know it. Now, the advantage I had over the current pandemic is that there was a discernible before and after back then. 20 years ago, by January 1, 2000, you could know beyond the peradventure of a doubt whether so-called experts had been right or wrong, whether mass hysteria was warranted or not. If you remember back then, formidable intellects across the Christian landscape were busily propagating reckless rumors, spurious statistics, anecdotal arguments. And although painful, the January issue of Esquire gave a glimpse of what the world thought about the lack of truthfulness in the Christian camp. Leaders within Christianity were being castigated by the secular press for mining the subjunctive, for cultivating the seed of threat buried inside each unrealized instance. And today, secular media is doing the very same thing they accused Christian leaders of doing. They're using COVID-19 as a pretext for selling fear, for engaging in sloppy journalism, for employing subtly deceptive reasoning, even for trafficking in self-styled science. With self-righteous zeal, they have weaponized media channels to communicate a narrative that is, at best, the skin of the truth stuffed with copious deceptions. Now, today's podcast is going to revolve around a book titled The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe. In this book, there's a trio of scholars, a biologist, a statistician, and a philosopher, and they are providing, through the pages of this book, much-needed perspective on the worst pandemic-induced disaster in history. Let me repeat that. Because actually, it's not the worst pandemic-induced disaster in history, it's the worst panic-induced disaster in history. And one of the authors of the book, Dr. Jay Richards, joins me for what is certain to be an enormously enlightening conversation. I can say that because I've had Dr. Jay Richards on many times, both on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Hank Unplugged podcast. Jay Richards is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He holds a PhD with honors in philosophy and theology from Princeton Theological University. He's the author of all kinds of books, including one of my favorites, Money, Greed, and God, The Christian Case for Free Enterprise. He also wrote another instructive book. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal on it. It's titled The Human Advantage, The Future of American Works in an Age of Smart Machines. And at the beginning of this year, 2020, we featured another of his books, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting. His new book, which is co-authored with Douglas Axe and William Briggs, is The Price of Panic, again, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe. And Jay, with all of that as prologue, I am just delighted to have you on Hank Unplugged again.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Hank. Thanks so much.
Your book has received reviews and plaudits from all kinds of very significant people. I was thinking about a New York Post columnist who wrote that your book is entertaining prose, surprising insight, and an engrossing account of how a handful of so-called experts with bad track records, dubious modeling, and no data convinced world leaders to shut down the economy. This book, she says, exposes the expert media industrial complex and confirms the lesson that nothing spreads like fear. I was talking in the beginning of this podcast as I was introducing what we're going to be talking about today, about the book I wrote, The Millennium Bug Debugged. And a lot of the same things that I wrote about back then, 20 years ago, you're writing about today with respect to COVID-19.
You're exactly right. And I mean, I can remember that was actually early on when I had just left graduate school as a Discovery Institute. And I remember even amongst those of us at Discovery Institute, some of us were terrified. Some were more skeptical. I was actually kind of the health skeptic. I don't know exactly why. It's not like I knew a lot about computer technology. But, you know, I mean, I think part of it was just the hype, honestly, at the time that, you know, that human beings, if you look historically, we are social creatures and we're sort of tempted by hype. I mean, that's what interests us. That's what interests us in the media. Nobody wants to read a story that says 330 million Americans are still alive today, just like yesterday. I mean, right? That's a very boring story, but it's something that's sort of shocking or that, you know, pretends to change what we're used to. That's exciting. And so we have these kind of historical events. The famous Dutch tulip panic is the one that everyone talks about, or that just sort of animal spirits in which things just kind of get away from rational sort of thinking when it comes to, say, stock market ups and downs. And so we always, I think, have to be aware of that. And we also have to be aware of the natural incentives of the media is to hype. It is to create fear and panic, but precisely because it draws more eyeballs.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Jay Richards. For the first time in history, the world shut itself down by choice. The government ordered the closure of tens of thousands of small businesses. Schools across the country sent students home. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. Life will go on, but what is the price of panic? In The Price of Panic, Professors Douglas Axe, William Briggs, and Jay Richards examine the COVID-19 pandemic because we need to know what happened to keep it from ever happening again. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Modern science popularizers often suggest there is no need for God and deny any evidence of his existence. But the story of the cosmos provides an honest and fascinating perspective, pointing to a God who makes himself known through the wonder and beauty of his creation. The Story of the Cosmos, How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, is a beautifully illustrated book featuring experts such as William Lane Craig, Guillermo Gonzalez, Melissa Kane Travis, Michael Ward, and others, taking a deeper look at the universe and exploring the traces of God's glory in the latest discoveries of astronomy, science, literature, and art. To receive your copy of The Story of the Cosmos, How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
For the first time in history, the world shut itself down by choice, fearful of a virus that wasn't well understood. The government ordered the closure of countless businesses, many never to return. Schools sent students home to be taught in front of a computer. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. We need to know what happened to keep it from ever happening again. In The Price of Panic, Professors Jay Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe examine the worst panic-induced disaster in history, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Professor Jay Richards, in their conversation.
We also have to be aware of the natural incentives of the media is to hype, it is to create fear and panic, but precisely because it draws more eyeballs. And so I think if we're not careful about, as you said earlier, sort of exercising discernment as consumers of media, constantly reminding ourselves, okay, they have an incentive to terrify me, so, you know, I need to look more deeply. And unfortunately, most of us don't do that, and so we're just kind of carried along. And that's really what I think the story of 2020 is going to be about. Yes, it's about a viral contagion. It's about a new coronavirus. It is dangerous, especially for certain segments of the population. But that's not a really historic event. This is sort of comparable to the Hong Kong flu of 1968, if you're going to sort of rank pandemics. This global simultaneous panic in which we just basically shut down the world, that's what people, I think, will be talking about 50 years from now.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about a couple of things as you were speaking. One is the headlines that I read. You know, that was just this morning, but I've been reading those headlines every single morning for, you know, the duration of this year. So there's been this move towards selling fear. And as you just pointed out, selling fear sells. But talk about realistically the contrast between COVID-19 and pandemics of the past. You write about this in your book.
We do, and we do our best to try to compare basically all the historical pandemics. And of course, if you are willing to go back a few thousand years and you talk in terms of the percentage of the population, there are just some horrific pandemics. Of course, the one that we're most familiar with usually is the Black Death, the plague, because, you know, in Europe, it wiped out something like a third of the population in a fairly short period of time. Now, that's civilization affecting, obviously. It like marks, you know, basically an inflection point in history. The worst thing in the 20th century was the Spanish flu of 1917. We don't know exactly how many people it killed, but something between 40 or 50 million people globally. But of course, that was when the population was much smaller. So that's really bad. I mean, if you look back, President Woodrow Wilson at the time, it turns out, didn't even actually mention it. So in terms of kind of a historic event, it only kind of made a ripple politically, but it certainly affected the world and it certainly affected the lives of millions of people. What's interesting is that the original projection for the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 in March, it was based on a computer model out of the Imperial College London. And the modelers assumed that the bug was about as deadly as the Spanish flu, but they didn't have a basis for that. But they assumed a so-called infection fatality rate of 3.4%, which would mean that basically 3.4% of everyone that got it would end up dying from it. Now, that would have been catastrophic if that had been the case, and if we had evidence to believe that. The problem is, through a kind of comedy of errors and people not knowing what they're talking about, it's really kind of a depressing story to recount. We ended up with these public policy responses, not just in the U.S., but in most of the countries of the world. And it was a response that it sort of would have made sense in terms of the panic if the bug had been 50 or 100 times more deadly than it actually is. Now, the question is whether things like lockdowns really are a good measure or a good method either way. But at least what you want is a public policy response to be appropriate to the risk, to be appropriate to the danger. It's a sort of proverbial, you don't want to chop off your head to solve a migraine headache. And that's the problem. That's what got us worried, honestly, why we bothered to write a book starting in late March, because we realized we're making decisions globally based on a computer model that we have absolutely no reason to believe is true. And we learned within a month that it was almost completely useless for really predicting the outcome of what was going to happen in 2020.
You talk about what's going on worldwide. During the course of my ministry, I've spent a good deal of time in Taiwan. And one of the things I noticed in going to Taiwan is people routinely wear masks. If someone has the flu or someone has a cold, they, out of courtesy, put on a mask. However, they don't panic. The government doesn't panic because they've been through this before with SARS and with other viruses in the past. And so when coronavirus comes along, or with COVID-19, they don't lock down. They don't shut down their economy. And they've fared very, very well. I don't know if the statistic is still true. I read the statistic in your book, I think it was in March, where they only had 7 deaths. I looked on Johns Hopkins' website yesterday, and the total number of deaths is still at 7.
That's crazy. Well, what's weird about it, Hank, is that my co-author, William Briggs, is a New Yorker. He lives in New York City, but he does a lot of statistics consulting, and he happened to be doing statistics consulting for the healthcare system in Taiwan when this thing broke out. And so he got over there and really couldn't leave. They would have let him leave, but he couldn't get back to the United States. So we wrote this entire book with him in Taiwan, but he said just what you said, that Taiwanese, and this is true generally in East Asia, they're really quick to put masks on, you know, for whatever reason, they just tend to do that. And it's, in part, it's a sort of signal to people that, okay, I'm sick right now, so sort of keep your distance. And that's part of what it is. But he said there was no panic. There was nothing like what we would think of as a lockdown. Now, we're convinced that the East Asians fared well, almost certainly because they had some kind of pre-existing immunity. I mean, there's really nothing you can say about the public policies. Japan didn't lock down as we would consider it. Taiwan, Vietnam has had virtually zero deaths. And so we suspect that that population has just been exposed to coronaviruses that were similar enough to this one that they had some pre-existing immunity. But it is interesting that, you know, most of them didn't do these kind of draconian lockdowns, and yet they did just fine. The difficulty is that there's all these different variables because you have island countries and you have big continent-wide countries like the U.S. and you've got different climates. And so we try to work through all that statistically in the book to try to get a handle on really these big questions. One, do lockdowns really make a difference? And two, what are the main variables that determine whether a population is going to do well or do poorly when confronted with this virus?
You talk about pre-existing immunity, and I was thinking as you're talking about the elderly, I think somewhere in your book you note that the elderly may even have an advantage because of this pre-existing immunity built up over the years.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of a paradox when it comes to flu, because, of course, influenza, we get these different strains. And so the older you are, the more likely it is that you will have lived through a really bad flu season. So if you're 70 years old, for instance, well, you lived through the Hong Kong flu. And if you're, you know, in your 70s, you actually would have gotten through the Asian flu in 1957, 1958. That was actually much worse than the Hong Kong flu. And so you made it through 2 flu pandemics. And so even if you get a really bad flu season, you're actually going to be more likely to fare well with respect to that, just the fact that it's an unusual flu. Of course, that has to be balanced by the fact that the older you get, the more comorbidities you have, the weaker your immune system is. And so the more likely it is that you'll ultimately meet your demise with some kind of combination of, say, the flu and the pneumonia. But yeah, the truth of the matter is because we get these pandemic flus just, you know, and maybe once a decade or once every couple of decades, if you're really young, you won't have actually built up immunity to those weird flu bugs, whereas if you've been through a couple, that's actually an advantage.
I want to get your perspective on the Great Barrington Declaration.
Those guys are exactly right. I mean, honestly, the Great Barrington Declaration, in fact, Jay Bhattacharya at Stanford and Martin Kulsdorf and some of these, the three that initially wrote the Great Barrington Declaration, and then the many scientists and scholars that signed on to it. We actually talk about some of their early work in the book because Jay Bhattacharya at Stanford was one of several people actually at Stanford Medical School that were really challenging the idea that lockdowns were the way to go. The Great Barrington Declaration basically said lockdowns are an incorrect response because you don't punish and lock down everyone across the population. We know that the coronavirus is much, much more dangerous for people over 70 that have several pre-existing health conditions. And so they basically argue for focused protection. So in other words, we should use all of our energy and our resources, focusing our protection on those people that are most vulnerable, and then doing what we've always done before, which is to quarantine the sick. People are under a misconception that what we're doing this year is a quarantine. But a quarantine has been for centuries, you take the people that you know are sick and infectious, and you isolate them from everyone else, and then you try to isolate the people that are especially vulnerable. What we've done this year is lock down the entire population across different demographics, regardless of what sort of actual risks the virus actually holds for them. That's a really different and untested thing. The population lockdown was, it's really basically a hypothesis that's worked its way through the public health bureaucracies during the 2000s. It didn't get tried in 2009 during the swine flu. It was really just kind of a hypothesis waiting to be tested. It just turns out that 2020 was the first time when we could test this. The computer model that I mentioned earlier at Imperial College London, it assumed as one of its assumptions, it's one of its propositions, that lockdowns work. And so it basically said, well, if you do a lockdown, it actually is going to reduce the spread, so therefore we should use lockdowns. But of course, that was an assumption of the model. It hadn't yet been tested. And so the human race ended up being guinea pigs for the testing of the lockdown as a response to respiratory virus in 2020, unfortunately.
Now, your comments, you just hit home with me, because I turned 70 this year. I have pre-existing conditions because I've been fighting cancer for about 4 years. I'm now cancer-free, but quite frankly, Jay, during this entire pandemic, I've flown across the country. I've continued living my life. I mean, I'm not reckless, but I don't want to be herded into a pen and stop living my life.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Jay Richards. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, The Price of Panic: How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, by Douglas X, William Briggs, and Jay Richards. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Modern science popularizers often suggest there is no need for God and deny any evidence of his existence. But the story of the cosmos provides an honest and fascinating perspective, pointing to a God who makes himself known through the wonder and beauty of his creation. The Story of the Cosmos: How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God is a beautifully illustrated book featuring experts such as William Lane Craig, Guillermo Gonzalez, Melissa Kane Travis, Michael Ward, and others, taking a deeper look at the universe and exploring the traces of God's glory in the latest discoveries of astronomy, science, literature, and art. To receive your copy of The Story of the Cosmos: How the Heavens Declare the Glory of God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.